Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS misreading a headline that Trump and Attorney General Barr are, quote unquote, cooling off for a bit after their big dust up. It got out. I'm sure nothing gets out that Barr doesn't want to get out. But it got out that after Barr saying he makes it impossible to do my job by tweeting, and then Trump went on and tweeted, quoting him, saying, like, he never asked me to do anything illegal, that Barr said that he was really close to just quitting, and he was just one more tweet away from leaving. And so now they're kind of, they're taking a little break. They're cooling off, giving it a little bit of air, see if they can work it out. Former Senator Jeff Smith joins me. Hello, Jeff.
What's up? How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. I am really excited about the debate tonight. I haven't been excited about a debate since the first one, but the whole entrance of Mike Bloomberg, who has spent $400 million and hasn't been accountable, hasn't even been doing political shows or Sunday shows. How much do these guys go after him right from the start tonight?
I mean, I think they don't have much choice. You know, they kind of got to try to deflate the balloon. And I think if you're Bloomberg, you're coming into this a lot like Obama, maybe in 2012, like when you're, I don't know if you remember this, but Obama, you know, he was used to being president. His advisors told him, you got to prep. He didn't really want to prep. He said, you know, I've been prepping for 4 years. I've been the president. And then he goes into the first debate and he gets his clock cleaned by Mitt Romney, you know, because he wasn't used to being in that environment. He'd been away from it for a long time. I think it's the same with Mike Bloomberg. It's been more than a decade since he was on the ballot. When you're a billionaire, people usually probably don't tell it to you, frankly, because they're worried about losing their, you know, their gig with you. And so, you know, we'll see if he's, you know, if how prepped he is and how ready he is to defend a lot of statements that are in sharp juxtaposition with today's Democratic primary electorate.
Jeff, if you were debating him, if you were one of the candidates, which of those statements or which of those stances or policies do you think is most vulnerable for Bloomberg?
I mean, I would say D, all of the above. You know, for some of the things he said, he is alleged to have said regarding women, that his campaign is not disputed and that is sworn to in depositions related to lawsuits, such as, you know, just crude comments about women in the workplace, especially those who get pregnant who are working for him. I think he's very vulnerable on that stuff. I also think he's vulnerable on race and stop and frisk. You know, to say on the radio, I think the problem was we probably weren't stopping enough white people. I imagine you're going to hear that come up, you know, in reference to the police tactics in New York City. And finally, you know, he said at one point, you know, he thought Wall Street reform had regulation had gone too far in the Obama years. So on any of those three points, you know, issues related to gender and especially Me Too, issues related to race and stop and frisk, and issues related to Wall Street and financial regulation, where he accumulated his $60 billion, he's vulnerable on all three of them. And I think you'll see all three come up tonight.
So for everyone on stage whose name is not Bloomberg, who is this a must-perform-well debate for?
I mean, I think almost all of them. You know, he's got the cushion of being able to spend $1 billion, you know, at the end of this and keep his name out there. The others need the oxygen, you know, especially Elizabeth Warren, weaker-than-expected performance in New Hampshire, got to have a breakthrough. She sent a tweet a couple of days ago suggesting that she's really going to take it to Bloomberg. She said, hey, you know, people are wondering which of the Democratic candidates are best to go toe-to-toe against Trump. Well, watch in a couple nights and you'll see, you know, how well I do going against an egotistical billionaire.
So let's talk about some strategies. And I'll tell you what I think, and you tell me where you agree and disagree. To me, for Biden, this is, he has to be a presence and a force on the stage. He can't let the other quote-unquote centrists like Buttigieg and Klobuchar outshine him. And for Bernie, I think this is Bernie's chance to basically kick Warren out by just taking over and being the leftist voice.
I think you're definitely right with regard to Bernie and Warren. Although it's not an automatic thing that all of her support would definitely gravitate to Bernie. I think some of it would probably, you know, some might go to Klobuchar, you know, if she stays alive. I think it's very much make or break for Klobuchar, and she's, you know, riding a little bit of momentum with a better than expected finish in New Hampshire, and she needs to, you know, really rise. I think Biden, from a strategic perspective, one of the things that he tends to do in debates is he tends to conflate passion with volume. In other words, to try to communicate how passionate he is about something, he just starts yelling. And I don't think that's a great look for him. So I think sometimes he does better when he actually speaks like more quietly.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if I were him, I would remember, you don't want to be the angry guy, you know, because sometimes Bernie comes off that way. But you do want to communicate the fact that, you know, your empathy, your relatability, the things that have endeared him to voters for a long time, remind them of why they like you outside of all the politics and who's electable and how you did the last two states, why they really have affection for you. So I think that's incumbent upon Biden tonight.
If you ever
see Mayor Pete,
go ahead.
One more thing. For Mayor Pete, I think he's got to drive the generational contrast. You know, he's leading in delegates. He was first in Iowa and a very close second in New Hampshire. And I think you got to say, hey, look, we've got a choice. The last few times the Democrats have won the presidency, from Obama to Clinton, you know, to Carter and Kennedy, it was kind of an outsider, younger than the rest of the field, who hadn't been of Washington, who broke through. And I'm the candidate who fits that description. It's, you have a choice between three guys in their late 70s or me, you know, who can herald a new generation of leadership. So that's what I think they all need to do.
Jeff, I know you're a Mayor Pete guy. Are you at all concerned with Nevada and South Carolina coming up? It's a more diverse playing field than Iowa and New Hampshire, where he did great there, but he's struggling with non-white voters.
You're exactly right. It's a huge challenge for him. So much of his focus and so much of the media's focus for the last year plus was on two states, Iowa and New Hampshire. And those are the states where a little known candidate can break through, because there are two states that are not too expensive to campaign in, and you have a full year to do retail grassroots campaigning on the ground. Once you get out of those states, the demographics of the electorate change a lot. In Nevada, you have a heavily Latino electorate. In South Carolina, you have a majority Black electorate you'll be facing. So this is really a true test for Mayor Pete, whether he can appeal to the more diverse base of the Democratic Party. If he can't in Nevada and South Carolina, he won't have the momentum to succeed on Super Tuesday. So, yes, I mean, it's make or break for I think everyone really except Bloomberg and Bernie. Bernie's army seems to stay with him no matter what. Mm-hmm. And Bloomberg's got, you know, there's 61 billion reasons why he's going to be fine, you know, almost regardless, unless he really steps in it tonight.
Speaking of Mayor Pete striking the juxtaposition between the younger and the older generation, somebody from the Bernie and the Bloomberg camp needs to get on the phone with each other and call a truce, because the two of them today are having a fight over who's going to die of a heart attack first. And they both just look ridiculous. They look like two old men at the gym having a push-up contest.
It almost feels like something out of Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know, if for the Curb watchers out there. And I think you're right. If I were Mayor Pete, I would slyly allude to that tonight and say something, you know, make some oblique reference, such as, you know, I know a couple of the candidates have been going back and forth today about the release of their medical records and, you know, various challenges that they've had, you know, to their health, you know, in recent years. Well, I'm here to tell you, as a 38-year-old guy, you know, fresh out of the military, I'm in the best shape of my life. So you don't have to worry about that with me, right?
Jeff, what do you think of the president going on this commutation and pardon run with Blagojevich and Milken, and now that it's being put out there that he may be pardoning Assange?
Well, as I tweeted yesterday, yeah, I picked a terrible time in U.S. history to commit white collar crime. not to make light of it, you know, because criminal justice issues are serious issues. But you know, I think more presidents and more governors should make use of the pardon and commutation power. So I'm not going to go after the president for what he did. I think some of the sentences were probably too long. What I think is a grave injustice in this country is the number of people who are not well known, who are not well connected, who were not a governor or a Wall Street financier or a friend of the San Francisco 49er or relative of the San Francisco 49ers owner who Donald Trump happens to know. Those millions of people, disproportionately people of color, are not in the front of the line for pardons and commutations. So I'd like to see a much more broad-based movement, especially for those who are like nonviolent offenders who have been locked up for, 15, 20, 25 years, who I think we need as a society to contribute to the economy and the workforce.
Yeah,
and the demographic challenges we're going to be facing with Social Security and Medicare as the baby boomers continue retiring, and there's only two workers for every retiree. If we don't get more people out of the prison industrial complex into the workforce, it's going to affect all of our retirement.
Yeah, you're right, because everyone that he's pardoning are rich, famous white guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you maybe even as early as tomorrow. And I think there's going to be some fireworks. I think everyone's going to go after Bloomberg. I don't think it's make or break for Bloomberg because, like you said, he has $60 billion. But no amount of money can buy you bombing. And if he absolutely steps in it and mutters around and stutters and spends the next 2 hours tonight apologizing for everything, I think it could be really bad for him.
It definitely could be. I mean, he's not a guy who stutters and rambles and, kind of meanders. His mistake, I think, if he makes one, would be one where he comes off looking flippant or arrogant or dismissive, especially of one of the women candidates. That's what he's got to, I think, watch out for.
Good one. Thanks, Jeff. Talk to you soon.
Great to talk to you guys. We'll see you.
Rach, what do you got?
I just wanted to remind everyone that if you want to hop to the front of the line when it comes to tickets for DGS East Side happening Thursday, March 26th at the Wildy Theater in Edwardsville, Illinois. Download the radio.com app, search for 97.1 FM Talk, give us a little heart, a little fave, and opt in to push notifications. You will get a push notification on Friday morning with a link to the presale, and it's the only way you can do that. So,
and it is not a sales tactic to say that this may be your only day to get tickets, because at the Sheldon, we sold it out, 721 tickets, but we sold 350 the first day. We have 300 to sell at the Wildy. So that's this Friday. General ticket sales are at 3 p.m. The push notification pre-sale is going to happen at some point, probably 9 or 10 a.m. on Friday morning. Quick break, right back, DGS.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 426. You want to see my toy rifle from when I was a kid, but not be triggered because people complain because we put it on a Facebook Live. You can go to our Facebook page and watch. I thought it was a lot of fun. Our ratings went up 300%. Nielsen, you suck ass. That's about it. Dave Murray joined us. Hey, Dave.
Wait a minute. How can it go up so high and then the rating service would be awful?
Because my ratings don't. The actual people listening to this show, I don't think change up or down 10% in a year, but I'll go from number 15 to number one in a month, and that's why it's terrible. I don't know if television is different, if television is better or more stable, but like I was saying, everyone who's big in radio, we all get it. It's stupid, and we all take turns being number one, and we celebrate it, and we get cakes, and we get bonuses, and we all roll our eyes.
Now, television is weird, too, because the sampling is only in a few towns around St. Louis.
Hmm.
And if, you know, let's say Florissant, and there's three samplings coming from Florissant, and nobody says they watch whatever channel, well, then that's a problem. But the next month they might say, no, I watch that channel. Then all of a sudden it's up. The problem with that, and you'll see it on local news, is you can almost tell where the rating boxes are because there'll be reports from all of those little towns.
How does that work? Do they hook something up to the TV? I don't remember how that works.
It can be both. It can be two ways. One, they can hook it up so it does it automatically. Or the other is it's actually there's still a written diary that you can fill out.
Okay.
See, that's how, when I first got into radio, which is 20 years ago, it was the diary. Yeah. And as I understand it, every month there were about 4,000 people that would keep a diary. Some of them were meticulous. Some of them would just be like, Casey, DGS. But it measured, to me, it measured passion. Mm. And then in 2009, as I understand it, the new generation of buyers said, yeah, we don't like your old boomer guy pen and paper. We want digital. So they went to something called PPM, personal people meters. And there are 1,000 people out of 2.5 million who have these meters. They go by family, and about 500 of them on any given month will actually use it. So 500 people.
Ridiculous.
That is appalling.
What 2.5 million people listen to. So I've always said it's like playing poker, that I have a big enough show that if I get a good deal, like you've played poker, you know, sometimes you get dealt a full house. It's great. We're number one. But if not being a music station, where they have huge cume, you know, lots of ears. If you get a bad deal, you look like you suck.
Yeah.
And it just, we all live with it. We all sell ratings or advertising on it. We all get bonused on it. But it's so terrible.
500 people.
500 people.
Yeah. But people on the air can get just creamed by it.
Oh, hell. People lose their careers.
Right. Right. And we all, I bet we could name 5 or 6 people, bang, just like that.
Easy. Absolutely. So any big weather changes coming?
No, not really. We've got a dry cold front coming through overnight tonight. All it really does is bring some clouds, wind shift to the north-northwest, kind of reinforces the cold air. 24 tonight, 30, that's it for the high on Thursday. But there'll be more sunshine during the afternoon, so at least it will look pretty in the afternoon. Down to 15 Thursday night. Friday, lots of sunshine. Still have to call it cold, 39 degrees. Then Saturday, pretty nice day. It's going to be cold start out the door, but a lot of sunshine, up to 49 degrees in the afternoon. Saturday is a real pretty day across the St. Louis area. And then rain coming in late Saturday night, during the day Sunday night, and coming to an end early Monday morning. So it's a pretty good stretch of rain. It's warmer, so it's all rain. And I could see 3/4 of an inch to an inch of rain before it's all done across the region.
Cool. Man, I know everyone feels this way. It's the dumbest thing I'll say all day, but just the sunshine.
I was just about to say, it just changes everything.
It does.
The fact that it's so
really
loud
does.
Outside right now is awesome.
I went for a 20-minute walk just before the show today, and it was the perfect amount of chilly. Yeah. You know, just like a little shivery, but the sun, oh, so great.
Life renewing.
Didn't you say that about that 20-degree day, too, though?
Yeah, I'm fine with 20.
How enjoyable that was going to be. Yeah. No, you weren't. The day it happened, it was like,
well, the two-degree day, no.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know. I don't think she'd mind me telling this. The day it was 2 degrees, my mom, who's 92, who lives by herself, does very, very well, will not hear of going to any sort of a senior apartment complex or anything, because I've tried. She's from the World War II generation, and so she feels an obligation to go to her mailbox, even though she gets nothing. So on the day it was 2, she wrapped up and she walked out to get her mail. And because she was only going out to get her mail, she didn't take a phone. And she somehow locked herself out.
Oh.
And she really almost died because she was afraid her next door neighbor wasn't home. And so she started to walk 2 doors down, which, for us, it's like nothing. But when you're 92.
Oh, and it's 2 degrees.
And it's 2 degrees.
Yeah.
And so she got about halfway and wasn't sure she could make it.
Mm.
And
oh,
she
Dave.
Turned around and went back to her next door neighbor, Tony Venezia. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah.
Who happened to be home, and they took her in and they put blankets on her and they rubbed her face and her hands. But it's like,
that was sweet.
For the love of God. Like, she could have literally just died in the front yard.
Oh, that's so. When you first started that story, I thought, is she going to fall in this story and you haven't told us? I didn't even think about the key thing.
Yeah.
Does the door just automatically lock?
No, it was just a one in a million.
Oh.
She's very, very careful. It was her storm door, screen door.
Oh.
And she thinks that she caught her sleeve on the little thing,
yep. Oh.
The little button.
Oh.
Just one in a million, and the storm door locked on her.
Isn't
that crazy?
Yes.
I was so mad at her. Like, I was just, you know, because you're worried,
yes.
And then you're mad,
yep.
And why didn't you take your phone, and just, you know.
Well, glad she's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and thank you, too. Tony.
Yeah, thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony wanted me to mention Dad's Club Park, but he asked my mom, but he didn't say why. So, if you're in South Texarkana, join the Dad's Club Park. Because it's awesome, and that's where I played baseball and went to the carnivals. And
ooh, I hope he doesn't want people to boycott it.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
He didn't give a reason.
Like, you ask your son to tell those sons of bitches at the Dad's Club Park. Anyway, Rach, you have a story you thought would be good for Dave?
I did. I thought Dave Murray might have some thoughts about this. A 36-year-old woman from Ohio has been charged with a fourth-degree felony for repeatedly calling 911 because her parents shut off her cell phone. A 36-year-old woman called 911 continuously because she thought it was that big of an emergency that the police should do something about the fact that her parents stopped paying for her cell phone.
Why did they do that?
They didn't say why, but I'm guessing it has something to do with the fact that she's a freeloading 36-year-old.
36!
Yeah.
36,
just crazy.
Does she have some
I was
issues?
Wondering, I think you would almost have to to call 911 about that, but I don't know, your issue could just be being a giant brat, because I do know people out there like that do exist.
Wow.
So she called once, and the police said, you can only call us for a legitimate emergency. So she was able to hold off for a couple hours, and then she called again, and the police say that she was belligerent. I'm wondering how she called him if her phone was shut off. I guess she made her way to a payphone or something.
She might be in the basement where she lives.
Sure, 911. If there's any 911 person out there who wants to call us and tell us stories, 314-241-9797. But I'm thinking a third are stupid people who someone took their pot or Pizza Hut didn't deliver, you know.
Yeah.
Or then, I mean, even if you take the 911 aspect out of it, this is a 36-year-old woman whose parents, who are at least in their 50s, probably in their 60s or 70s, are paying for her phone. At what point do you cut somebody off? Because I'm 28, and I'm at the point now where if I have a friend or acquaintance that is complaining to me about something that mommy and daddy is doing wrong when it comes to their phone or not doing this for me, I kind of just don't respond because I have no sympathy for you. We're all almost 30 years old. It's time to grow up.
Right.
If you're upset with something, go take care of yourself. You're an adult. But there are so many people out there who go into their 30s and they're still on mom's Verizon plan or whatever.
Wow.
It just seems like we're in a day and age where, I don't know, I just feel like 30 years ago were 36-year-olds relying on their parents for any reason.
I think you are an exceptionally mature person of your age. Do you feel like you are the exception or the rule?
Oh, that's a good question.
Would you leave your spouse on the cruise ship?
100%.
How ill was he?
I think it's probably 50-50. I think there are 50% of people who have the pride to be like, okay, I'm taking care of myself now. I think it just depends on whether or not you're a victim or in control of your own life. Because there are people who will find a way to be victimized, and they want to blame their parents for everything. And you know what? They were not the greatest parents in the world, so they should be paying my U.S. cellular bill right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I've heard people say things like that, and we don't really stay in contact anymore.
Having a 25-year-old, my personal opinion is, when you're in your late 20s, one of the reasons I have worked so hard is so that my kids, be they 25 or 45 someday, can come to me in an emergency, Dave, I'm sure like your son, yep. and I will help them. But when it's an ongoing monthly, I'm going to pay for this for you and I'm going to pay for that for you. By the time you're in your late 20s, if your mom and dad are still paying for stuff like a monthly bill for you, someone's made some bad decisions, probably both of you.
I remember my brother who has when my oldest niece, she's about Rachel's age now, but when she graduated from college in Texas and she got a job, my brother called me the next month and said, she's off the phone plan. I have officially launched someone. So as soon as you get the job in the Thomas household, apparently, as soon as you're employed, you get a month or so buffer and then you're off the phone plan.
I tell you what, my grandkids, Phoebe's kids, are in for it. They're out the door when they're 18.
Jeez, that's who she is.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of love it.
Hello, Rob. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, this is Fireman Robert. I actually had this happen back in 85. I had a person call my fire station demanding me that I would respond to their house, Aries Landing, to take their air mattress out of the pool.
Help, it's in the pool.
And I'm like, we can't do that. And she was yelling at me at the phone. I'm like, we just can't do that. And I said, if we're not busy, we can swing by. She demanded that I responded, that she was going to call 911. I said, you do that. And I said, they're going to come to your house, and it's not going to end well for you. But she called our station like four times that day.
I would have had to have gone just to see it.
We almost wanted to drive by, but our chief wouldn't let us leave. But we were really kind of curious to see. But it was like, what kind of mattress is this? But that really happened.
Wow. And it was, thanks, Rob. Couldn't get the awesome air mattress out of the pool. Jeez, OP.
You have to help me. This is why I pay my taxes.
I'm calling now.
Thank you, Dave. Crazy. Appreciate it.
All righty.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes shy of 5 p.m. Can I tell one more cute story about my mom?
Yes,
please.
I almost punched her in the chest, grabbed her heart, and pulled it out. So cute. She was telling me how, I don't know how she got it. Someone must have brought it to her. But she somehow got her hands on a payday bar. And she said, it's the first payday bar I've had in 20 years, and I felt so guilty eating it.
Why?
When I'm 92, I will kill people. I will do heroin. Like, there's nothing I won't do when I'm 92.
Why was she feeling guilty about it?
I guess, like, she shouldn't be eating that many sweets.
Oh, gosh.
Although she takes down about 5 drumsticks a day, so.
I love that, because you're always telling stories about how she'll eat, like, a third of a cheeseburger and save the rest for later, but then she'll eat 5 of those ice cream.
Woman has a sweet tooth.
It's really cute.
That's so
Phoebe and I
cute.
Stopped at Dollar General and got her just a bunch of fun stuff and got her a piece of pizza at Casey's and came in, and she'd already said she wasn't hungry. Like, hey, I brought you some pizza. And she's like, oh, I'm just not hungry. I said, okay. She's like, what's in the bag? So I got you a bunch of ice cream. And she's like, oh, okay. And she tore into it.
My mom used to say that. I'm not hungry. I don't really want anything. But I knew KFC was her thing.
Aw.
So I would bring her KFC, and I'd say, well, just a little bit of KFC. Well, maybe I should have a leg, a drumstick. It's just adorable to feed them, So even if you're not hungry at the depths, if you bring whatever that person's favorite is, that's very cute.
Man, saying the leg, the drumstick, when I was a little kid, that's all I wanted to eat.
What is
that? I think it's the easiest piece of chicken to eat.
It's the most interesting.
Yeah.
It has a handle.
Yes. Yeah.
But now I kind of avoid the drumstick. I know Tony's not here right now, but he is a dark meat guy.
Yeah.
I like white meat.
I do too.
So I'm kind of off the drumstick thing. I never cook it at my house ever.
No,
I love the dark meat.
You do?
Yeah. Tony and I are
on
the
same page. It's a real separator of people.
We're an evenly split
room. Yeah, it
really
is. Yeah. It really is.
But that's all. If you would have handed me a chicken breast, I would have been like, what is this?
Yeah.
I can't
eat this. Is this even chicken?
It's dry.
Unless it's a nugget or a leg, I'm not interested.
So true. Like, as a kid, that's just, of course I'm going to have a leg.
Yeah.
I would. Speaking of We have a story like this about once a year. We had a very famous one a few years ago where a guy got up in the middle of the night, walked downstairs, and there was an old man naked cooking corn on his stove.
Again?
And I said I would shoot him. And everyone thought I was a monster. I'm like, if you're naked cooking corn in my house at 3 a.m,
yeah,
you're one step away from raping my dog. So, partially naked California man entered home, made scrambled eggs. A California man is accused of entering a home, wait for it, where the residents say he was making scrambled eggs and eating flan naked.
Flan?
61 of Desert Hot Springs was booked into the Riverside jail. They woke up around 7:30 a.m., heard banging and yelling in the kitchen, and they found him making scrambled eggs with bologna and ranch dressing, which I got to say,
well, in
I'm
his,
listening.
In his defense, he didn't know where the pans were.
Making an egg sandwich with bologna and ranch dressing and eating flan.
Flan?
Yeah, what's flan again?
They must have, it's almost like a cheesecake-y,
it's like
but not.
Mexican.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheesecake pudding stuff.
Yeah, that's a good description.
These two instances are not even the only times we've heard of this.
Like
this
I said,
this has happened time and time again.
Yes.
I wonder if this is, you said they were intoxicated in both instances, or we're not sure?
No. I think this guy was just, probably on drugs because he had just got out of prison for drug-related crimes. So he's probably high on something. But I will say it again. If you're in my home and naked, you're probably going to get shot. And if you're home and naked and cooking, you're definitely going to get shot. Now, I know the right thing to do would be to do what these people did. They called 911. They are able to, they had to bring out like a hostage negotiator. Yeah, they ended up taking him out like on a gurney and stuff because he was medically in distress.
Oh, I see.
But if you get shot, you deserve it. If someone wakes up tonight and Dave Glover's in your house making a pizza naked and you shoot me, no one can complain.
Mm-hmm. Have to agree.
Right?
Of course, you will shoot your mother in the ceiling of a JCPenney, so we
Look,
should, you know,
she's
all relative.
In the ceiling. 6 weeks.
She had squatter's rights at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. I hate this woman.
Is it the 36-year-old who called the cops?
No.
Parents
Worse.
Did she break into a house?
We could.
Was she naked?
We'll find some kind of click through so you can see her, but I will describe her well. She is an Instagram model, and I'm making air quotes. She is 30-year-old blonde, big fake boobs hot, and big bee sting lips. And I don't know if she makes her living at it, but she's constantly posting like, boo boo kitty. She put self-tanner on her boobs, fed her baby. And then, oh my gosh, the baby's face is covered in perfectly outlined tanner, and then she just had to post it. Oh my goodness. Next time I feed the baby, remind me to wipe the fake tanner off my boobs. And so
just
now,
to remind everyone that I have boobs.
Now she's gone viral because her little baby, who looks to be about a year, has the most obviously paint. If you put fake tan, I've never breastfed, but I have to believe if you put fake tanner
Thank
on
you
your
for
boob,
that, Dave.
And then the baby took to the nipple, it wouldn't be a perfect outline like Homer Simpson's 5 o'clock shadow.
Well, even if it was, the reason I hate her is not even for the getting it on the baby's face, which I think is kind of dangerous and tacky. I don't think a baby should have self-tanner on their delicate face. But the fact that you posted it, that little baby is going to be a 15-year-old someday, and their friends are going to Google them and know that their mom was the one who had the self-tanned boobs and it got all over their face. And how humiliating is that?
Is there
of
no,
all the ways to be embarrassed, that's a pretty big one.
Is there no limit to how thirsty we are for attention?
No, there's no limit.
My Lord.
Wow, that's
I was physically something. Angry when I read yeah, that story.
Yeah, justifiably.
What makes you madder, that story or when Kelly Ripa posted the prom picture with her daughter with the daughter's boobs out, saying, I was so mad that she snuck this dress by me and she's got her cleavage out there. And then she posted a photo of it for the world to see.
Probably
her daughter's boobs.
That, because she doesn't need the attention. This woman clearly needs the attention, and she's not a millionaire. For Kelly Ripa to do that was more disgusting.
Basically pimp out her daughter in this situation.
Just to get 1% more people.